Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you are doing that, I just want to say a special thanks to Nathan for preaching last week. I thought he did a great job. I told him I took voracious notes. I just really appreciated his preparation and how he shared it. And let me just say too that Kathy and I had a great time away in Kansas City, and other than having a lot of good time with our granddaughter Lucy, we ate some good barbecue, and we got to spend time with our son Jordan, and then his wife Christina was being trained for a new job, which gave us the excuse to go and help out babysitting. And then from there, we actually went to Dallas, Texas, and the rest of our family met us in Dallas, where our youngest son Graham got engaged to his girlfriend Sophie. And so we were thankful to be able to be there for that. Thanks to our daughter Laura, who's a flight attendant, that allows us to fly free. And I told her she never has my permission to leave that job. So anyway, that was really fun to have everybody there for that. So this morning we're looking at Enoch. And we're reminded that in Colossians, Paul said, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." How did we receive Christ? By faith. How do we live our lives? By faith. And that's what we see in Enoch. At the top of your outline, it says this: in contrast with Abel, who died a violent death, Enoch never died. God just took him straight to heaven. God has a different plan for each one who trusts him. Verse 6, along with verse 1 of Hebrews 11, really represent key verses in this chapter explaining faith. Faith is believing that what God says is true. In Enoch, we have an example of how faith is expressed by walking with God so that God himself is glorified. So follow along in your Bibles as I read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There are only a few other verses in the Bible that talk about Enoch. We're going to look at those as well. The first one is in Genesis 5. And you can just listen to this if you want. And it's Genesis 5. You've got the reference in front of you. And so let me read these verses starting with verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, verse 24. Then he was no more because God took him away. I'll say this later. Wake up for somebody. I'm not sure who it is, but... but I'll say this later, but I'll say it here as well, that pleasing God, the Hebrews had this desire, and walking with God, like it says in Genesis, are really synonymous. Pleasing God and walking with God are synonymous. To walk with God means to keep him at the center of our thinking, this is on your outline, in every area of our lives, in our relationships, our finances, our plans, whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're going through, whatever relationships we have, we make God the center of that thinking. Our relationship with the Lord should impact everything. No one says it better than C.S. Lewis. I love this quote. You have it on your outline. "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." If we put Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11 together, again, that's about everything we know about Enoch. We don't know much, but what we do know is that by faith, Enoch lived life with God. That's what he did that was so special. And it was so special that even though there's almost nothing about Enoch anywhere else in the Bible, we're going to look at one other passage in Jude, the Hebrew writer latches on to him as one of the most stunning cases in all of history about faith. To be in fellowship with another person suggests that that there's a shared agreement of soul. The prophet Amos understood this when he wrote in Amos chapter 3, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?" It's impossible to walk together unless there are several mutual agreements. Think about this. You have to agree on the destination. You know, this past week, Kathy and I went on a walk down at La Jolla. We started at the Cove and we walked south. But had we gotten there and Kathy chose to go south and I chose to go north, that wouldn't have worked. We needed to be going in the same direction. And Enoch was going in the same direction as God. There was a time in the walk that I thought Kathy was going to follow me, and I went up on the sidewalk, and she stayed on the beach, and I was on the sidewalk for a little bit by myself. And so it's possible to be headed to the same destination and be on different routes. And Enoch was on the same route as God. And then after that, there's one other requirement in walking together, and that's that you not only need to be traveling to the same destination and by the same route, but you also need to be going to the same place. And Enoch walked to the same place that God wanted him to go to, with God. And what happens when you walk with someone you love is that you want to walk with them so that you can be with them, so that you can talk with them and laugh with them and share your heart with them and open up about things that really matter. Share your dreams together. You're focused on that other person, maybe to the point that you're not even aware of maybe other things around you. And if you are, it's oftentimes, I find, to point it out to the person you're walking with, the person you love, to bring it to their attention. Living a life of communion with God isn't just reserved for a select few. Remember, this isn't the Hall of Faith like it is the Hall of Fame. These are normal, everyday people that God used, and God wants all of us to be able to walk with Him, to have communion with Him, to relate to Him on that intimate level, to align ourselves with Him. If you walk with God like Enoch did, you're walking by faith. So let's begin by looking at verse 6. We're going to kind of go out of order a little bit, and we're going to go back and take a closer look at verse 5. So the first thing we see in verse 6, number one on your outline, is that faith believes that God is personal, therefore knowable. We can know God. Verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Believing that God exists is only the beginning. James 2:19 says, even the demons believe that much. The author's writing to Jews, think about this, who believe in the existence of God, of the Jehovah God. And so why does the writer seem to question this belief? Every Jew believed in Jehovah God. I think the way to read the verse is like this. He who comes to God must not only believe that He exists, but also that He rewards those who seek Him diligently. And so they both go together instead of separate, I think, as I've studied this passage. In other words, mere belief in God's existence isn't enough. There must also be a diligence to seek Him, to pursue Him as He is pursuing us in a relationship with Him. The writer is not, I believe, questioning their belief in God, but the effectiveness of that belief, the reality of that belief as they're relating to another person. Like R.C. Sproul says in the quotes on your outline, it's one thing to believe in God, it's quite another to believe God. God doesn't just want an acknowledgement of His existence. You know, when someone says to me they believe in God, one of the first questions I want to ask them and often do is, tell me about the God you believe in. And usually it's not the biblical God. It's not the God that I know in the Bible that when people say, well, I believe in God, and they're not genuine believers. But God wants our faith to lead to a personal and dynamic and intimate relationship with him. Our faith is reasonable. And reason can't explain it all, but we use our minds as much as we can to think things through, to learn to think about things Christianly, in a Christian way, from a biblical point of view. And we leave room for God to do things that we might just not fully understand, because God will do that. The faith that the author is talking about in verse 6 is a lifetime of confidence in God. And this is as true in other things as it is about faith. It's impossible for a child to please his father or mother unless he has confidence in them. Or a wife to please her husband, or a husband to please his wife, if they don't have confidence in each other. If there's distrust or jealousy on either of their parts, then it makes life miserable for everyone. There has to be this trust and confidence. And the same thing is true with God. He cannot be pleased in one who has no confidence in him. And so, do you have confidence in God? The requirement of faith in God, or confidence, isn't optional. It's what we require in any relationship, and it's what God requires of us. The next thing we learn about faith, number 2 on the outline, is that faith believes that God rewards those who seek him. God rewards those who seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, this is equally as necessary as the belief that God exists. They go together. And this makes sense, because if we don't believe in God who hears and answers our prayers, we don't pray. And God wants us to communicate with him. And so true, God-pleasing faith approaches God's throne of grace through Christ frequently, and does it with confidence and joy. What greater joy than to come before the God of the universe with our requests? And he listens to us, and he cares for us. And so let me ask you, is there pleasure in you going before God and talking with God? Is there a sense of anticipation that you have before you go to God and talk with God? And ask God, if there's not, to change your heart and to give you that deep love and that generosity of spirit that he has, that he wants you to have. All right, now let's go back to verse 5 and explore the idea of what faith is to our walk with God. That's the idea, that faith is to walk with God. That's number 3 on the outline. So verse 5, going back to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So again, Genesis 5:24 says that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So you see this again, to please God is to walk with God. We're told in Genesis 5 that Enoch lived 65 years and then had a son named Methuselah. But I'm not sure I would have chosen that one for a name. But anyway, it's a different era. Verse 22, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had sons and daughters, other sons and daughters. Now, I don't know what kind of life Enoch lived his first 65 years. Maybe he had a late rebellious streak. I'm not sure. But it was something about after Methuselah, his son, was born, that Enoch began to live in communion with God. You know, my brother Jimmy adopted 2 little girls from China, Paige and Allie. And I was talking to my brother one day, and he said, "Hey, Kenny, I have a new definition of scary." I'm like, "What's your new definition of scary?" He said, "Looking in the rearview mirror and seeing 2 baby seats and babies in those seats and realizing at my age that those are my babies." That would be a little scary. I can't imagine being 65 and going in and looking into the nursery and looking inside of a crib and seeing a baby and thinking it's mine at age 65. That I could see how God could use that to wake me up spiritually. You know, all I know and what Scripture says is there was something about the birth of Methuselah that changed Enoch's life, that made him start walking with God. You know what? I actually see that happen a lot. I see families start coming to church, and as I talk to them and get to know them, I find out they're really finding out about their spiritual responsibility with their children, and so they want their children to grow up in the community of a church family. And that does bring people back to the Lord. I know that happens. One thing is certain, that Enoch teaches us, it's never too late to begin to walk with God. Never. To live life with God means that you're always talking to him. One of the verses that came to my mind is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You've got the reference. It says, pray without ceasing. And that's what God wants me to do. That's what we do as we walk along life, go through life with God. We talk to him about our money and our health and our job and anything that comes to our mind. If it's important to us, it's important to God. And so he wants to hear from us about everything. Nothing is too small to bring to God. Nothing is too big from our perspective to bring to God. Think about it. It's big from our perspective. But from God's perspective, it's still small. The one aspect of walking with God, and this is under that point, letter A, walking with God is walking in the light. The imagery of walking is used a lot of places in Scripture to help us understand what the Christian life is all about. And 1 John 1:7 says, walk in the light as God is in the light. And if we do that, John says, we have fellowship with one another and with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And what John is talking about here is an ongoing faith in what Jesus did on the cross. And this brings us cleansing from sin. This brings us fellowship with God. This brings us fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we lose sight of the cross, we stumble. We stumble in life. We stumble emotionally. We stumble maybe physically. We stumble spiritually. But to live in the light of God's provision in Christ, you will walk with God. You will be in communion with God. You will love God. And the only way this can happen is in the light of God's holiness. Look back, let me just read to you 1 John 1:6, the verse before that. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Another way to describe walking with God, this is letter B on the outline, is walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:16, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Or another way to say it is in verse 25 of Galatians 5. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And bearing the fruit of the Spirit, against which there is no law. And you know the fruit of the Spirit. And this too is pleasing to God. Walking in the Spirit means to allow God to be a part of all my thoughts. I bring every thought captive to Christ. It's getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, this is your day, not mine. And so will you use me today as you see fit? Will you bring people into my life that I might be an encouragement to them spiritually? Will you bring people into my life who need you that I might be able to say a word about you and point people to you? It's putting each decision, each opportunity, each temptation, and each desire before him, asking for his wisdom, asking for his power. Walking in the Spirit is not something passive. It is an active obedience to God. Now, the other passage that talks about Enoch in Scripture is in Jude. There's just one chapter in Jude, but it's Jude 14 and 15, and this is letter C on the outline. Speaking to others about our faith is a part of what it means to walk in the Spirit. And we only learn that Enoch preached for God from the book of Jude. And so Jude says this, only one chapter, so verses 14 and 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, preached, that's what it means, about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Well, we're not told how effective he was or that there were all these people that repented of their sin, but he did what God directed him to do. And then he left the results to God. And that's all God wants us to do as we share our faith with others. Just present the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. It's his job to bring them to faith in him. It's our job to present the gospel. And so you think of the time that Enoch lived in the days of Noah. There was great evil in the days of Noah. And anyone who heard Enoch preach and anyone who saw him live his life, that he was walking with God, they had to be influenced by that. And it had to be a powerful influence. And would that that would be the story for each one of us, that we would be a powerful influence with others as we walk with God. Enoch's faith was not just something that he felt, but it was something that was heard on his lips and seen in his life. One commentator described Enoch, his faith as active and dynamic, vocal, and fearless. That's Enoch. Is that you? So how does a person please God? Well, the first time the word walk is used in scriptures, Genesis 3:8. You have the reference on your outline. Right after Adam and Eve disobeyed, it says this in Genesis 3, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So you know, in that verse, we learn something really amazing. The God who created the universe and holds it together by the word of his power comes to us and basically says, let's take a walk. I want you to share with me what's on your heart. I want to share with you what's on my heart. I want to share my words with you. And what you see in Genesis 3 is that people are no longer walking with God. They're hiding. They hid from the Lord. And when we're estranged from God, we're estranged from each other. When we're estranged from God, we're estranged from creation. We're at war with even our own nature. We're subject to disease and death. And we need to be made right with God. So let me ask you a question. At the end of your life, what is it that you want to be remembered for? That you were a person of kindness and love and generosity? That you were a person of knowledge and wisdom? You had all these abilities and skills and you related well to others? Or will you be known for being an antagonist? Being an eternal pessimist? Always angry? Always prideful, dishonest? Or will you be remembered maybe for nothing? I don't know. What will you be remembered for? What are you known for now? I don't know about you, but I would sure be satisfied with being known as someone who walks with God. And so if you want to walk closely with God, what are the steps you need to take? If someone comes to you and says, hey, I want to walk with God, what do you tell them? What do you say to them? Well, here it is. You've got it on your outline. The first thing is come to God through Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And John writes in John chapter 1, but to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So you accept Christ. You receive Christ. You come to him, you come to the Father through him. And then when we enter into a heart relationship with God through faith in his Son, we know him. We hear his voice. We seek to please him. He becomes our everything. And the result of this for us is joy. What greater joy than to be in right relationship with God and a right relationship with his people? And when we receive him, we seek to know him. And we seek to listen to him. He becomes our all-consuming focus. And so let me ask you, is God your all-consuming focus? Are you being pointed to him? Jesus is pointing his finger at God. He's saying, look, you go to God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and Jesus points us to God. That's their roles. A.W. Tozer says that the goal of every Christian, and this is a quote, should be to live in a state of unbroken worship. The only way that's possible is to walk with God, to be in step with him, to live in communion with him. You know, a lot of people try to walk with God, but they bring a lot of worldly entertainments along with them and a lot of unhealthy relationships that they know are not God's choice for them, not God's will for them. And then they're not satisfied because they're not focusing on the person they want to walk with. They're focused on everything else. And Jesus may even be going a different direction than they're going. They don't even realize it. And this doesn't mean you're perfect. None of us are, but that your heart's desire is to please God. And you're willing to let the Spirit conform you and maybe do things that you're uncomfortable with. Maybe even do things, you know, if God never corrects us, if he agrees with everything we think and everything we do, then maybe you're God, not God. God sometimes is going to change our thinking. God sometimes is going to tell us things that are uncomfortable for us to hear and do. But we follow God. And then in order to walk with him, you have to, and this is on your outline, spend time with God. Spend time with him. You know, if you say you love someone and you have, maybe you've done that or been a part of that where you say to someone, I love to get together, and you keep saying that every time you see him, but you never get together. I mean, that's, you know, we try, we have other things going on, but if you never spend time with God alone, listening to him, reading his word, praying, talking to him, what does that communicate? It means you don't really care about your relationship with God. And so you spend time, you have to spend time with him. You have to learn to pray. You have to learn to talk to God. You have to learn to listen to him through his word. You know, there's nothing God loves more. And if you want to know how to pray for someone, find a verse of scripture to pray for someone. And then you can know for certain that you are praying God's will for them. Because God's will is revealed in his word. And if you're praying his word for someone, that will make an impact on their lives. God will do that. Mark 1:35 says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Wow. If Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need to do that? To spend time with his Father. He prayed and talked to God and listened and then obeyed what God told him to do. So when you're confronted with something and you don't know what to do, what do you do? Do you do what you want to do, or do you even bring God into the equation? God says, I want to give you wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask me and I will give it freely to you. I will not withhold wisdom from you. And the time we spend with him should lead us, and this is the next thing on our outline, to trust and obey. If you don't follow him, you can't trust him. If you don't read his word, you can't obey him. And I think most of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says in one translation, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. I love that. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Are you listening to God's voice? Are you taking time to just be quiet before him? To listen to his word, to allow his word to speak to you? You know what I find is that we read his word. Sometimes I'm guilty of this. I read the Bible, I read God's word, and then I just go off into my own prayer list. And it's, I feel like God's saying, hey, you know what? I was talking to you about something. You're being kind of rude and changing the subject. Why don't you talk to me about what I was talking to you about? And I say, oh yeah, okay. And then I go back and I pray the verses I've just read for myself. You know, that's what meditation is, just thinking deeply about Scripture. And you can do that every time you read the Word. Pray that, what you're reading, for yourself. Turn it into a prayer. Say, God, this is what I want. I need this in my life right now. And so we have to learn to listen and to trust. And sometimes God requires us something of us that doesn't seem to make sense to us. And you know, I read this last week on Facebook a great story of this happened to someone from our congregation. It was Millen Presley's son, Brian. And I know I saw you guys commented on it, so I know you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, they just moved to San Antonio, Brian and his wife and family. And Brian noticed a yard in his neighborhood that was very unkempt and just bad, and it kind of kept going. He asked another neighbor about them and said that they work hard and they're gone a lot. And so Brian just felt this nudge from the Lord to go and take care of their yard. And that's what he does. And so he did a great job front and back, not just mowing, but doing all the other stuff he does, and gave it a good caring for. And their cars weren't home at the time. So he noticed their cars home a couple days later, went over and said, hey, I'm Brian, I'm a neighbor, and if there's anything I can do to help you, just let me know. And they said, who are you? And then at that moment, this gal noticed the yard that had been done. And she started to cry. And Brian said he had done it. And she said, you know, my husband and I have a 10-year-old boy who has leukemia. And between both of us working full-time, I think she was a teacher and he was a coach or something, and taking our son to the hospital for, he was getting ready to start chemo for treatments. She said, we didn't have the time or to do the yard or even to find someone to do it, to hire to do the yard. So Brian said, look, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it from now on. And Brian said, we both started crying at that point. And then Brian, at the end of this little Facebook post, you can go and read it yourself. It's good. He said, we all have the ability to listen, but we just get caught up thinking this is our life and that we've got things under control. Well, we don't have anything under control. The Lord has it, and it was a clear example of him telling me to serve others for him and that I would be blessed. And boy, was I so blessed today. There it is. Are you listening to the Lord? What's he nudging you to do? I had someone ask me one time, how do I know if it's the Lord or just me? And my response is, if it's not against Scripture, it's from the Lord. Just do it. Does it seem like maybe a little crazy idea? Doing a neighbor's yard for them when they haven't asked? Just do it. Yeah, that might be a good little phrase for some company. Just do it. And then finally, another aspect of faith is that faith is hope in heaven. It's on your outline. Faith is hope in heaven. Enoch went to be with the Lord in a pretty cool way. God just took him up without him having to experience death. You know, if I could lobby God, I would say, God, you know, that might be good for all of us. Right at the end, you know, we're on a walk with you, and you just say, hey, you know, you're closer to me than you are to earth. Just keep walking with me. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Man, you know, leaving here is never easy. It's always messy. It just is. But that's part of what we experience in this life. But Enoch pleased God so much that God just reached down and lifted him up to heaven. One moment he was there, and the next moment it says in Genesis 5:24, he was not, for God took him. It's almost as if he walked so closely with God and for so long, 300 years. Wow, talk about persistence and talk about consistency in your life. And you know, we don't know the reason God waited 300 years before he took him to himself. We don't know why God sometimes waits to take us or why he takes some way earlier than others. But he wants us to be persistent. He wants us to have a vision for longevity in our lives. Enoch is a beautiful picture. And it's a good reminder of us for believers that we will be taken up when Jesus returns for his bride, the church. And the church that is the body of true believers, of which we are a small part. Think of that. Millions and millions of people meeting today around the world to worship the God we are worshiping. And he's going to return for us. And like Enoch, we will be home with him. The Lord Jesus is coming back. You know what that word is in Greek? Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Maranatha. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, Dr. Raymond Edmond was the president of Wheaton College, and he was preaching in chapel on a sermon that was entitled In the Presence of the King. At the end of the sermon, he collapsed, and everyone knew there was an issue. They didn't know what had happened, but he had had a massive heart attack and died right there. Can you imagine? In the presence of the King, preaching that? And then just like that, going to be in his presence. Are you ready? Are you ready to die? Are you ready for the Lord to come back right now and for us to all be taken up? Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Think about it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our faith will grow as we walk with you, as we walk in the light, as we live in the Spirit, as we speak to others about you. Lord, give us boldness and open doors and the right words to say that we might be a light for you every day of our lives. Father, if you nudge us to do something, and I know you will, may we just have the obedience to do it and watch you bless. And Father, if there happens to be anybody here today that hasn't started this journey or has been walking in a different direction or walking not together with you, that they would say, Lord, today I want to walk in harmony with you. I want to live my life in deep communion with you. I want to be like Enoch. I want to be faithful. I want to be persistent. I want to keep living for you every day. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be in your word. Draw anyone to yourself, Lord, who doesn't know you. May they put their trust and their faith in you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with me for the benediction. And now may the God of peace produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him, and all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Please, before you leave, find someone you don't recognize. Welcome them here.